Good morning. Welcome to worship. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. We will light two candles on our Advent wreath today at the appropriate time. Several of you have asked about the color of the paraments. We are fortunate to own a lot of paraments. We are not fortunate enough at this point to own two sets of blue paraments, and so we're using purple for this service. Purple was at one time the color for Advent and is still an acceptable alternate color. So if you're wondering, the mixture of blue and purple, that's the reason for that. We are not used to needing two sets of paraments for our worship until 2020. Some additional announcements as we begin our worship. Today, following the service, prior to the dismissal, we will have our congregational meeting. All members are invited to stay and vote on this coming year's budget and to vote to approve two board nominations to the Good Shepherd Foundation board. After worship today, we have our Chrismon tree decorating event. Right here is our new tree that will serve as our Chrismon tree this year for our outdoor services. Also today, the Salvation Army Angel Tree donations and Salvation Army stocking donations are due. You can leave them here with us. You can take them down to the narthex in the church if you wish to drop them off down there. Reminder that next Sunday, the 13th, we will be having another congregational fellowship event. It will be very socially distanced. Masks will be required. We will be standing at a distance to hear and sing favorite Christmas carols. If there's inclement weather, we will have to cancel the event, but I hope we will not, and I hope you will come at 4:30 next Sunday to enjoy that event with us. Also want to remind you that although you are here for worship at this time, starting at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday, we will have a video stream service that will be on our church's YouTube page. A link went out yesterday with that service information. You can also access that from our website. So if you would like to watch worship a second time, say perhaps that the sermon was so good you just want to hear it again, or if I heard some chuckles, that's not good, or if you want to pass that along to someone who's not able to join us for this service but would find it meaningful to see worship from our sanctuary, you're welcome to share that with them and pass that along. At this time, let us begin our worship, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose forgiveness is sure and whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Together, let us honestly and humbly confess that we have not lived as God desires. Loving and forgiving God, we confess that we are held captive by sin. In spite of our best efforts, we have gone astray. We have not welcomed a stranger. We have not loved our neighbor. We have not been Christ to one another. Restore us, O God. Wake us up and turn us from our sin. Renew us each day in the light of Christ. Amen. People of God, hear this glad news. By God's endless grace, your sins are forgiven, and you are free, free from all that holds you back, and free to live in the peaceable realm of God. May you be strengthened in God's love, comforted by Christ's peace, and accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Says our God. the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Lord, you are light in the darkness, the hope for those afraid. Comfort us, strengthen us, heal our broken world. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. One with the Father and Spirit before the worlds began. Visit us, make us new, waken us for love. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear.
A reading from Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear, says the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arms rule for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and greatly lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob.
You have forgiven the iniquity of your people and blotted out all their sins.
I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you.
Truly, your salvation is very near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and shall prepare for God a pathway.
A reading from 2 Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that the Lord one day is like, with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, and as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of person ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt away with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
See the salvation of our God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I call on our children's attention for a moment for our time together today. Today, I want us to think together about all the people it takes to help make our worship happen. The people who help make all of our church activities, like the one we will enjoy after worship today, happen. We have people in our church who help in so many ways. They clean our church building and yard. They put together our bulletins and our materials for worship. They put together our activity bags for our Advent season and other seasons. They help get our supplies for communion and baptism and worship ready for our services. They help plan and practice and provide our music. They help with worship. They record our service so that we can listen to it and watch it. I could tell you their names, tell you who they are, but most of them, truth be told, don't like to have attention called out to the things that they do to help. They do that because they love the church, they love us, and they love Jesus. They act a little like John the Baptizer. They prepare the way for us to have our worship and our activities, just like John prepared the way for Jesus to start his ministry of helping others, of teaching others, of healing others. And there are ways that you can help prepare the way for Jesus's work as well. Maybe you can ask your families today, who in our church takes care of the different things around our church? And you can take the time to thank those people for their work. This time of year, you can find other ways to help too. You can share songs, gifts, cards. So many different ways you can show others God's love this time of year. Just like John the Baptizer did, just like our faithful volunteers here at church do, we're all called to help prepare the way of the Lord, to help others see and know the love of God. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for John the Baptizer, and especially we thank you for all your people here at church who help prepare us to hear your word and know your love. Help us to find ways to prepare others to receive that word and love also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It seems we have all the vehicles today. We have a truck and now a helicopter. I'm not sure what that means. I hope it's not bothering our audio too much. When we think about the coming of Jesus at this time of year, we tend to think about the Christmas story. And when we think of the Christmas story, we probably think about a mixture of Luke's account and Matthew's account of the birth and early infancy of Jesus. Luke's gospel narrative is the one we probably think of the most. It's the one we'll read in a couple of weeks on Christmas Eve. It's the one we know from Linus's monologue in A Charlie Brown Christmas. Jesus born in a stable and placed in a manger, for there was no room in the inn. Angels appearing to shepherds watching over their flocks by night. Peace on earth. All of those things we find so familiar and comforting. That's Luke's version of the coming of Jesus. This story is so familiar, so iconic, that it surprises many people to learn that Luke is the only one of the four gospel writers who tells the story in that way. It also surprises many to learn that the wise men or magi don't come up in Luke's version at all. Instead, they come up in Matthew's version. Matthew has a bit of a different story. Matthew doesn't tell us anything about the details surrounding the birth of Jesus. Matthew merely tells us that Joseph was going to leave Mary when she was found to be with child. But an angel came and told him not to leave because the child she was carrying was to be the Messiah. So Joseph stayed with her and she gave birth to a son named Jesus. And then weeks or months or perhaps a year or more later, we're not sure, Herod the king sent the Magi, the wise men from the east, to find the newborn child king, and they brought their gifts. We know this story well too, and we celebrate this in the church not during Christmas but after the day of Epiphany, January 6th. Yet, especially in our manger scenes, we tend to mix these two stories, these two versions of the Christmas story together because it makes for a lovely full nativity scene. Then we have John's version of the coming of Jesus. And in John's gospel, there's no story at all, but rather a hymn, a poem, a beautiful flowing chorus about the coming Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and lived among us full of grace and truth. A totally different take on the story of salvation, but one that nonetheless helps us prepare Jesus' way in our hearts and in our minds as we ponder not just an infant in a manger, but a pre-existent Word of God that created all things and is coming to dwell among us. But then there's Mark. No story, no birth, no infant Jesus, no pre-existent Word. No preparation at all, really. No preamble, no prelude, no prologue. What is Mark's nativity story? The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's it. One sentence. No angels or shepherds or magi, no Bethlehem, no manger, no inn. How does Mark begin his story of Jesus? A single solitary voice crying out in the wilderness. And how futile that effort must have seemed. One voice shouting into the wind in the middle of nowhere. Who on earth is going to hear this message? And that voice calls out the same words we heard in our first lesson from Isaiah today. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. When Isaiah prophesied that originally, the people of God were living in exile, in captivity, in Babylon. They were longing for freedom and release. And God heard their cry and said, "Your penalty is paid." And the voice that cried out about preparing the way of the Lord, it didn't matter who heard or didn't hear, because the truth was God was going to come and save the people, whether the way was prepared or not. As Isaiah himself said, "See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him." That is, God is coming, ready or not. And Mark latched on to this ancient promise and realized that John the Baptist, that strange man in the wilderness who wore unusual clothes and ate bizarre foods and baptized people for repentance, he was also the voice calling out to make straight God's path, this time to make the way for Jesus' ministry. And the first time we see Jesus in Mark's gospel is here, at the Jordan River in the wilderness, at the age of 30 or so, when he is baptized by John. Mark is abrupt and immediate. Prepare the way of the Lord, because behold, here he is, ready or not, already in the wilderness, ready to act and save. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the comfort, the familiarity, the sheer visual appeal of the nativity scenes we build for ourselves. I don't really mind too much that we throw together elements from Matthew and Luke to make the scene fuller. I love those familiar words there were in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night, shepherds. Those words, Luke's story, it's like for me a warm coat or a familiar favorite blanket. And likewise, Matthew's story of the Magi is equally familiar and comfortable to me. I love those words, we have seen his star in the east and have come to pay him homage. The idea of people coming from the world over to meet this newborn king. I love the words. I love the familiar story. I love John's soaring poem about the Word made flesh. That is a lovely thought to ponder. I love these stories of Jesus' coming. But more often than not, I live Mark's story. I live in the immediacy. I live in the wilderness. I live often in a world of uncertainty, of sudden gain and loss, of loss of unexpected fortune and misfortune. The wilderness that we find ourselves living in can sometimes get lonely and bare. It can be a place of great hunger and thirst. It can be dark and cold, and yet sometimes it feels like someone has really turned up the heat. It's a wilderness called life, my friends. I live it. You live it. Natural disasters and political unrest, threats of various misfortunes, whether it's war with another nation or someone trying to get a hold of your personal information or bank account, the daily grind of trying to make ends meet, loss and grief, illness and change. We wander the wilderness places of this life and world, hoping against hope for relief, for restoration, for rest. We long for salvation. We desire to be saved from all that looms over us and all that rises up against us. And that's where Jesus comes, Mark tells us, not just to the cozy and familiar, not merely as a tender infant in a manger, not just to shepherds in the field keeping watch by night, not only to wise men or kings who bow down. No, Jesus comes on the scene in the wilderness, ready to be sent by the Spirit to save humankind from the very wilderness we inhabit. That is our hope in these difficult times. As foolish as hope can seem when we are threatened by so much in our world, whether it is rulers or thieves, illness or scarcity that threatens us, we have hope because we know one who came to bring hope into hopelessness. We know one who appeared at the right time in the wilderness. While King Herod plotted in the city of Jerusalem and while Caesar schemed in mighty Rome, Jesus came by the Jordan in an unnamed place to an unnerved people. And he brought comfort and hope, restoration and relief. He came to heal and to cast out demons, to teach and to call disciples. He came to die and to rise again. And the joyful good news for us is that he comes again this day and always. He comes into our wilderness, bringing comfort, hope, restoration, and relief again and again and again. Our congregation gathered this week in worship online and here in our parking lot is a sure sign of God's presence in this wilderness world. We are the body of Christ, spread farther and wider than we're used to during this time. Yet together we do the work of Christ. His healing, His compassion, His welcome, and His warmth happen among us here and through us out in the world. And so it happens that we become a voice crying out in the wilderness places of our world. We not only receive the hope and joy that John brings in his proclamation that Jesus is coming, we ourselves become like John, pointing to Jesus, calling out against the wilderness winds of this world, prepare the way, one is coming more powerful. Like John, we point to that one who has come among us. We share with others the joy and the gift of Jesus. We bear witness to the one whom we know brings hope and who brings joy, who brings relief and who brings restoration, who brings comfort and who brings peace. As brief as Mark's story of Jesus' arrival seems, I think it's where most of us find ourselves living. It's probably where your neighbors and friends and coworkers live. On the margins, in the wilderness. Jesus has come into those places and to those people and surprises them with gifts not yet seen or imagined. And you, this Advent season, get to be a part of that holy work. You are not just a recipient of God's love and joy, but also a co-worker with God, one who brings God's presence and light into a dark and desolate world. There are many ways you can make someone's darkness light this week. There are many ways you can surprise someone in their wilderness with the tenderness and mercy and love of Jesus this week. I urge you, go and prepare His way in all that you do and be a powerful voice crying out this week. Amen.
Prepare our hearts for new life.
Let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God of power and might, comfort your people and come quickly to this weary world. Hear our prayers for everyone in need. Faithful God, you teach us to wait for you with faithfulness and patience. Sustain and support us in our doubts and questions. Nurture our faith as we discern and enact your mission. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Loving God, you set the stars in the sky and breathe life into the earth. Renew the face of creation where it is in need of your healing touch. Mend the wounds of environmental damage and restore balance to ecosystems so that all creation can declare your praise. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Steadfast God, you never tire of seeking justice where people suffer from discrimination, judgment, and injustice. Speak words of truth and comfort. Lead us toward a world where faithfulness will sprout underfoot and righteousness rain down from above. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Leading God, you ask us to make uneven ground smooth. Make even the disparities between your people. Sustain and support people with physical and intellectual disabilities. Accompany disability advocates who work for an accessible world for all. Teach us to celebrate the great diversity in our midst. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Tender God, you know sorrow and joy alike. We pray for those in our families and congregation who are not joyful in this holiday season. Comfort those who grieve. Be a companion to all who are lonely. Tend those who are sick or struggling with depression. And gather all people in your healing embrace. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Eternal God, we give thanks for the saints who have prepared your way in the wilderness and taught us to continue their faithful work. Make their generous lives an example for us all. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Draw near to us, O God, and receive our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share a sign of peace with one another.
Throne on high.
We continue our worship with the great thanksgiving in the middle of page 6. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious and abundant God, you have done great things for us, and we rejoice. In this bread and cup, you give us life forever. In your boundless mercy, strengthen us and open our hearts to the world's needs. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Some
This time I'm going to call Council President Ed Beeman forward to begin our congregational meeting. If you would join me in prayer for this meeting. The Lord be with you. Gracious God, be with us as we meet to consider this important business of your church. Help us to be mindful of your mission and our place in it. Help all of our decisions to be made with the guidance of your Holy Spirit as we pray for your wisdom and for your mercy. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. This time I'd like to call this congregational meeting to order. There are two items on the agenda today, first being the ratification of the election of the foundation board members, and the second item is the approval of the 2021 budget. The Good Shepherd Lutheran Foundation Board moves to appoint Raymond Kaufman and Chris Herman to the foundation board. Raymond Hendricks. I don't know why I got that on my mind. Raymond Hendricks and Chris Herman to the foundation board. All of you received a red and a green card. So if you vote yes, you hold the green card out the window, and no, the blue card. So all in favor of ratifying these two members, please hold your green card out. Any opposed, your red card. Okay, the members have been ratified. The next is the budget for 2021. All of you should have received a copy of the proposed budget in the mail. Hope you've had a chance to look at it. There is one error that we have to correct. It was a clerical error, line J01, which is sexton salary, was $10,000 short. So you have to add, please add $10,000 to J01 to the sextant salary, and that will add $10,000 to the bottom line. We're still within the parameters that the Finance Committee has looked at on our budget, and we still think we'll be okay there. It's not really a significant change. I did not receive any other questions on the budget, so at this time we'll vote for the budget. So all in favor of approving the budget as corrected, please hold out your green card. Okay, anybody opposed, please hold out your red card. Seeing none, the budget is approved. There being no further business on the agenda, we will adjourn the congregational meeting. Thank you.